Amigos. They were the biggest stars of their day.
The Three Amigos are history.
But that was yesterday.
Look, boys, I know show business. Something always turns up. Telegram for the Three Amigos.
Steve Martin. Chevy Chase.
You have anything besides Mexican food?
Martin Short. The Three Amigos.
Throw down your gun! Not you, Dusty! Sorry!
Three Amigos.
I'll come back one day.
Why?
Hello and welcome to Waffle On Podcast. My name is Simon Meddings.
And I'm MC Kelly.
And this is Waffle On about the Three Amigos. Cal, what do you think? Do you think it's more professional? Do you think we sounded more in with it?
If we weren't mounting, yeah.
Yes. Welcome to Great Britain. As you all know, we generally moan and whinge about the weather because it's always raining and it's cold. And so far, we've had a week, 2 weeks of scorching heat. And in Britain, when it gets over 30 degrees centigrade, which is around about 92, I think, is it? 91 degrees Fahrenheit. We go into what could only be described as the Big Lebowski feeling, in which we totally lay back and just can't.
And everyone goes, "I wish it was a bit colder." Yeah. But no, remember when it was 21? It's about nice. We are, as English people, we are never happy.
We are
the moaning race, aren't
it's
we?
It's why the Aussies call us the whingers.
It's true. We just never happy. Well, the thing is, what we're saying, you're all right. When you know you've got nice, you know, you got all the right clothes for it. Mm. You've got your house. You've got air conditioning.
Yeah.
We have nothing like that.
No, we don't. We have what's
called a hot window above your burning sun down onto your head. And I'm a proper hunky. I just die.
A proper hunky.
I am 100% hunky. Yeah. That's a racial slur about myself.
It is. And I'm digging this Cheviot that we've got.
Cheviot. The Corona bottles.
Yeah.
No, that's the best in the pack. Remember the Corona man?
Yeah.
The pot man coming around.
The pot man coming around.
Yeah, get cream soda. Dandelion and burdock.
No, I don't like dandelion and burdock.
It's a weird drink, that, isn't it?
Yeah, Alan Wicker died a couple of days ago.
I know, I did put a thing on this. Because I didn't know.
Yeah, I put it on the...
Emicus, one of your heroes, is dead. And I was thinking, ain't Kurt Russell, is he?
Oh,
I was going to start crying then. Then I'm Kurt Russell, John Carpenter. And it was Alan Wicker. I put on that thing. Don't you regret? I know we are going to do, at some point, a special art movie.
Yes, well, it'll be a bonus episode.
A little bonus about it, because we love him so much. But I think my basic is that, you know, what I loved about Alan Wicker was he never tried to be anything but Alan Wicker.
No.
He never tried to be down with the poor people. He was Alan Wicker. He never tried to speak another language. Mm. He didn't do the classic things in English of speaking louder and slowly. More slowly, what people do with foreigners. He just was not. He was himself.
Yeah.
And he was about the other people. He'd let the other people speak. you know, Michael Payne, he's a massive fan of him, wasn't he? You can see where he got his travel from. Be yourself.
Well, we could turn down Around the World in 80 Days.
Yeah, it would have been.
The BBC travel programme, and that's why he interviews him at the beginning. And his advice was, you know, don't try and speak the language. You'll just make a mess of it. And, you know, this is back up to, you know, 21 years ago, but it's amazing what you can do being British in like, passport control. Excuse me, move out of the way, British, BBC. Yeah, now BBC, of course, people think you're automatically looking for children.
Allegedly. But it's just, you know, you see all modern, like I was saying, basically, it's just famous people, right, just living it up, and they're talking about how sorry they feel for the local indigenous people, and I hate that. Billy Connolly started it off, really, didn't he? Billy Connolly's were good, but now there's so many of them, isn't there? Joanna Lumley, Victoria Wood, that one about tea. Going around the world with two.
That was a two-part. That's one part of that. If they could have done a very good program in one part.
But why does it have to be Victoria Wood?
Well, she wrote it.
Yeah, but why can't it just be for a travel person who does travel? That's what I don't like. Alan Rickard was a travel expert.
Name me another travel person apart from the man with the glasses on, who's pretty cool. That really thin bony guy.
Yeah, but this is a problem. This is the problem. The travel.
Simon. What's his name?
Yeah, Simon Reeve is the only one who still does that now. Where it's about the people. It's not about him.
Palin's still good, though. New York was pretty good, actually. Anyway, we are right over there. So we're talking about, Cal, what we're talking about today?
The Three Amigos.
And what do you... Oh. The Three Amigos salute. I'm so glad you had dressed recently.
I had underwear on. I'm not saying there wouldn't have been, you wouldn't have had to duck anyway.
I wouldn't have been looking down, I would have been purely at your eyes.
I don't want a dad's at work man. Now that is a proper inch. You don't want to say that when you're in the podcast, do you? Or it's like plums out.
Oh, not in this heat. I don't know in any heat.
If it's cold, I'll get around next time.
And what do we do before we talk about the show?
You play the theme tune.
And we are playing the ballad of The Three Amigos.
One for each other and all for one. The three brave amigos are we. Brother to brother and everyone, a brave amigo. Wherever they need us, our destinies lead us. Amigos, we're always together. Wherever we go, we're three brave amigos, and we'll be amigos forever. We are the three amigos. We are the three amigos. We are the three
going to be playing a couple of things. You'll notice them as we go along, and as we say, we do apologise if you can hear. Normally we do a noise removal thing on the audio for the podcast, but I'm sorry, but we've got a fan right next to us because he's a squirrel. We close all the windows so that you don't hear the main load. So if you do hear a little bit of a fan, it ain't our hot mum, which we've got a slave.
No, this is a necessity.
It is, because otherwise we will pass out. And stupidly enough, we're going for a curry in a bit. but that is a thing though, hot food does cool you down.
It's why they are eating hot countries.
It is indeed. So does that mean you're going to have a chili buster? No, you're going to have some kind of...
I've gone off. We talk about this, mate. No more hot.
I'm having a start. I'm ravishing. Yeah. Not ravishing. I'm ravishingly
hungry. I'm ravishing. What the hell's going on here, listeners? Talk about maybe things falling out, and then he's saying he's ravishing.
I'm ravishing. I've lost my word.
You're ravenous.
So hey, this is what you're going to do. You listening?
Are you
sure?
I am.
We're going to give you the plot. So I'm going to read it out. Cal, jump in. As usual, we're going to talk about the actors at the end of this, and we've also got a comment. So, In 1916, the notorious bandit El Guapo, or El Guapo, played by Alfonso Valu, and his gang of thugs are collecting protection money from the small Mexican village of Santo Poco. Carmen, lovely Carmen, played by Patrice Martinez, daughter of the village leader, you know, she's in Beetlejuice. Plays a receptionist in Beetlejuice. And she's the daughter of the village leader, searches for someone who can come to rescue townspeople while visiting a small village church. She watches a silent film featuring the three amigos and believe them to be real heroes. Sends a telegram to Hollywood asking them to come up to stop El Guapo. However, to save money, the telegraph operator edits her message, and thus is where hilarity ensues. Now, I think the makeup for the black and white section is excellent. They captured the silent film really
brilliant.
Well.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and this is where we also get the first time we get to see the three amigos.
Yeah, because there's a lot of time in film where they try to do old stuff, and it never looks right, does it?
No.
It never looks right. They either do it too much, where they make it too crackly, but the faces would be perfect.
Yeah, they've got
the makeup was really different in them 20s, and that's what they did right with that. And the music as well is brilliant, isn't
it? Yeah. Now, Lucky Day, this is the three amigos. Meanwhile, Lucky Day, played by Steve Martin, Dusty Bottoms, played by Chevy Chase, and Ned Niederlander, played by Martin Short, are Hollywood silent film actors. And of course, these are the ones who play the amigos on screen. Now, they demand a salary increase from studio boss Harry Flugman, who fires them. Now, did you recognise his two henchmen?
Do you know, weirdly, I was just watching it on Friday night, and I was trying to think who the bloody hell there was, and I couldn't be bothered moving my hand to get my phone or my book. So I thought, I'll leave it till Monday, because Meds is bound to tell me who they are. Am I right?
Yeah, indeed I am. One is Phil Hartman.
That's Phil Hartman?
The main one who talks is Phil Hartman. And the other one...
Because he's dead now, isn't he?
He got shot by his
wife.
Yeah,
there was a...
Phil Hartman.
He was the main Simpsons murderer.
Simpsons, yeah. And the other one, John Lovitz.
That's John Lovitz?
Yes, is the other one.
Bloody hell, because they couldn't have been well known then, Phil Hartman and that, could they?
No, not at all, not. Because this is like 1986, isn't it? I think. Amazingly, I didn't even put that in the script. That was really clever of me, wasn't it? Oh, well, you know, if you like the Three Amigos, you'll know all this. Phil Hartman's the one who's doing the main talking, and then John Lovitz is the one. Because he's got that really horrible, squeaky voice.
So
they get the sack, they get let go, because they want too much.
Well, you got that, he's a brilliant bit in that, really, where. They're trying to get more out of him, now.
Yeah.
And he's sacked, and Dusty Bottoms goes, I'll work for free.
Yeah.
I'll work for free.
As they get out, they obviously get a telegram, of course, and this is where they misread that they have been asked to come and do a show in this Mexican village, and so they decide to break into the studio to get their suit, their costumes.
Yeah.
Now, I was dying when Steve Martin standing on that wall trying to get out of there. I'm blind.
Wouldn't it be easier if we just went to Flugelman and asked him for our amigo costumes?
No. Flugelman hates us right now. He's never going to give us our costumes. Lucky's right. This is the only way.
It's all about the word infamous, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one knows. There's two words in this thing that now that people get confusing. It's infamous and plethora.
Plethora.
These are the two words that confuse a lot of people in this.
Well, that is true. I mean, you know, you got infamous or infamous.
Yeah.
And it's like the two totally different meanings. And that is quite fun about that little play of words. That is actually classic Steve Martin writing it, because obviously Martin wrote that, well, co-wrote this, along with the creator of Saturday Night Live. And they always do that, and I was playing on words. And that, again, because Martin's influence is Monty Python.
Like I said, when you watch this, it could be. It's in the same thing as Life of Brian and Holy Grail, isn't it? Obviously, the Holy Grail's a bit ruder, because one thing is, we've talked about this today, when we were talking about this, but the one thing about it is really, it's really unrude, isn't it?
It's a really good family, you could class it as a family comedy.
You know what, I'm not in my comedy. Whenever I would watch a PG comedy, I'd never watch a PG comedy now, but then, PG comedies were bloody brilliant, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll reveal some off a little bit later on of Landy's time, the comedies that were coming out. Now, in Santa Poco, a German pilot played by, now I'm going to get these names wrong, Kay Wolf, he's in the search for the old bandits, and he turns around and says that there's he's got some friends coming. I hope you show more,
courtesy, because he has that. Because he's going, you and your fancy pants, your fancy gun, and he for ages like, what? It's just a classic scene, isn't it?
And that guy, how German is he?
He's a
classic German, that guy, isn't he? Now, the Amigos, and this is when they come in, and that, I mean, when you look at them, they're dressed in the most ridiculous sombrero and clothes and all this kind of stuff. And all the other Mexicans there are dressed in the classic, as you would say, the classic screen version of
a cowboy Mexican in a bar, isn't it?
They've all got bad teeth, bad moustaches, dirty, hey, gringo, that kind of thing. Anyway, so the three Amigos come in here. Of course, they get mistaken for these other three Germans. And this is where they sing My Little...
I remember when I first saw this, I absolutely died. And I'm still dying. And I must have saw it 30 times.
But it was what you said, though. You think it's all three of them singing it, but it's not. It's Martin Short and Steve Martin and Chevy Chase playing the piano.
Well, we'll talk about this later on, won't we? We talked about it just before the podcast, actually, weren't we? Because I thought, I hope that it does me.
Yeah.
And we brought some in cup. Play the clip, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, here's the song.
Dusty, go on over to that piano.
Oh, no. No.
I haven't played in so long.
I couldn't. This. Been a long time. All right. We're going to do a little number for you, but remember, we're a bit rusty, so bear with us. Just like the old days.
All right.
Maestro?
My little buttercup has the sweetest smile. Dear little buttercup, won't you stay a while? Come with me where moonbeams paint the sky. And you and I might linger in the sweet by and by. Oh, dear little buttercup, with your eyes so blue. Oh, little buttercup, you're a dream come true. You and I will settle down in a cottage built for two. Dear little buttercup, I love you.
Everybody!
My little buttercup has the sweetest.
It's my young.
Dear little buttercup, won't you stay out?
Wild.
You and I will settle down in a cottage built for two. Dear little buttercup, sweet little buttercup,
my little buttercup.
Of course, this leaves the locals totally bemused about who these people are. And then the Germans' real associates arrive at the cantina, proving themselves adept with their pistols. Now, this is another one of them things where they shoot an awful lot of bullets out, don't they?
No, that is it, without even looking.
Yeah.
And there's bullets flying everywhere in that, and it's just the black people that they want to kill fall off the thing.
Yeah, and I love the way that the barman turns around and says, this dad is getting into a danger.
Yeah, he's wicked, isn't he?
And now Carmen picks up the Amigos and takes them to the village where they are put up in the best house in town and treated very well. Of course, this is where they're all sleeping in the one bed, aren't they?
No, it's just... Look, it seems it's really innocent. It's a really innocent film. Like, I think even in a comedy now... that bit would have connotations in it. Mm. There'd be some gay innuendo,
yeah,
or some sex joke.
Yeah, they'd feel the need to put
the word they'd not just have. Bit like the Morgan and Wise thing, isn't it? But it was never seen as a big deal, was it?
No, because
there's two friends living in the same house.
Because there's loads of times, I know we do, well, that house, where you've been out in the piss and you just crashed in the same bed. You just didn't, you? I mean, I think probably the closest that comes where it's still kind of like humorous, but with a little bit of, and there's no sexual intent there. He's of course playing Strange and Automobiles. You know. Why are you holding my hand?
Yeah.
Where's your other hand? In between two pillows. Yeah. No, that's not. That's just really well the line.
No. Your mind's thinking that, isn't it? Where they are, it never explains where.
No, because the thing is, your mind thinks for some reason he's got his hand in between his cheeks. It could be between his legs.
Exactly.
It's probably his cheeks, but there you go. Now, the next morning, when the three El Guapos men come to raid the village, the Amigos do a Hollywood-style stunt show that leaves the men very confused. The bandits ride off, making everyone think that the Amigos have defeated the enemy. In reality, of course, the men inform El Guapo of what has just happened, and he decides to return in full force the next day to kill the Amigos. Now, I've put here in huge capital letters where I made my notes. When I was watching that, I was absolutely just crying with laughter at the bit where obviously it's the camera just following him around.
You know me though, like you like it as well, don't you? To make me laugh, just put a camera on someone's face when they're doing something. It's, you know, bigger than a Jabberwocky, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was brilliant in Mitchell and Webb with
I
just find it really, really funny. And it's brilliant that it's Martin Short's face, isn't it?
It's Martin Short's face. Steve Martin doing his sort of like his open mouthing, which we've got a clip later on of Steve Martin. And Chevy Chase doing, but Chevy Chase always does thing where he's always open wide, doesn't he? And Martin Short does that again with Inner Space when he's pissed and he's in. He's
doing like Martin Short, but he had one act, didn't he?
He did have one act, yeah. But there again, someone say so to Chevy Chase.
Well, there you go. This, you know, we will talk about Chevy Chase when we talk about actors, so we'll move on back.
Yeah.
Sniff.
The village throws a boisterous celebration for the Amigos and their supposed, of course, victory. This is where you see Chevy Chase playing his Spanish guitar. Yeah. Now, I don't know if I got a clip of this. If I do, I'll play it. If not, we just sort of like,
because there's no thing that you can actually, I don't know where the music stuff actually comes from, because the three Amigos don't play any music or anything.
No.
But he seems to be able to play the piano and the guitar. I don't know where that comes from.
I suppose it's meant to be silence and music from Mighty Horse. But there's a great line in there, and he goes, you know, would you like to kiss me? And he goes, sure. And he goes, will we go for a walk and kiss on the veranda? Because on the lips will be fine.
It's a classic airplane joke, that, isn't it?
Now, the next morning, El Guapo and his gang come to Santa Poco and call out the Amigos, who confess that they've only been asked. Of course, they do their trick, what they did earlier on. And old Steve Martin's character gets shot, the name.
Yeah, because he can shoot one of them.
And it's the dawn of realisation that actually they're here for real.
He's been the crying, isn't
he? Yeah, he's been the crying.
Jeff Chase and Nigel were the crying.
The thing is, we don't shoot men. We shoot real men, not men who cry. With nothing waiting for them back home, Ned then persuades Lucky and Dusty to become real-life heroes and go after El Guapo, because, of course, Carmen gets kidnapped. And all the villagers looking at him, you know, with absolute disapproval and all that kind of stuff. Now, what I like is when they go after them, the fact that they ride 3 miles in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Now, you've got this song that comes in there. We're going to play this song again.
It's a really funny little bit in the film, isn't it?
And it's got the worst background drop. Considering the fact they filmed outdoors.
Oh, I'd love to. I've always thought that scene. Do you think it was added in that? I think it must have been added in.
It doesn't work, does it?
I think they were probably said, well, you need something to break it up because they're doing it too quick.
Mm.
Because it's a really odd little scene. It's a good scene.
Yeah.
It's a funny scene because you've got his voice in it, and then there's a really good singer in it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's Chevy Chase singing, but you've also got 3 singing horses.
Yeah.
And a tortoise that sings at the end.
And goodnight, Ned. Goodnight. It's a really odd little bit, isn't it? It might, don't you think that bit is a bit like a Boosh bit?
It is a bit Mighty Boosh.
Do you know, their bits were like that, weren't they? A bit weird, like the one with the... Yeah, the one where they've got to try and find the guitarist bloke, and they just find that. And that I thought, that's just like, that's it. Watching it again after all this time, you realise how much stuff is in this film that loads.
You can say,
Boosh obviously must be a fan of bloody Three Amigos.
Well, hey, here's that scene.
Arizona moon keep shining from the desert sky above. You know pretty soon that big yellow moon will light the way back to the one you love. Blue shadows on the trail, little cowboy, close your eyes and dream. All of the doggies are in the corral. All of your work is done. Just close your eyes and dream, little pal. Dream all. Someone. Blue shadows on the trail. Soft wind blows through the trees above. All the other little cowboys back in the bunkhouse now. So close your eyes and dream.
Night, Dusty.
Good night, Ned.
Good night, Ned.
Good night, Ned.
Good night, Lucky.
Good night, Dusty.
Now, after that, you also get the... this is where virtually everything comes in to the main scenes that everyone remembers. You've got the water drinking scene.
It's a brilliant scene.
Goes to drink his water, it's just sand.
No. Lucky Day. He's got, like, a drop of water.
Yeah.
Then Nibnibland does it. He's got, like,
a... Chevy Chase, he's, like, it's just all pouring out of him. And he's having a wash of it. Gargling.
And then just his lip balm out.
Yeah, but he throws the water. He just throws the water. Lip balm. We also get, of course, this is the bit where they go to get
the, a bizarre bit.
There's no explanation
for them looking for it. Also, they're looking for the blind, the invisible swordsman.
The singing bush.
Yeah, singing Irish songs.
Now, we're going to play the whole of this with the singing bush, so you'll all hear it now, but we'll talk about it. But you've got the singing bush, and then, of course, they have to do their chanty scene.
It's the classic scene, isn't it?
And, of course, Dusty kills the invisible man when he does his scene. So, here's the whole scene from the singing bush to when they kill the invisible. So why is he invisible? And why is he a swordsman?
It's a very odd bit because there's no explanation.
Yeah.
They've just kind of got instructions.
And why on earth is the bush singing?
Yeah, why is that bit? Why is it all become all mystical?
Is this some kind of mythology that we don't know about?
Like I said, it's just an odd film when you watch it, really. It's a series of loads of scenes. They all come from that, didn't they?
Yeah, so let's play this.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes.
She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses. She'll be riding six white horses. She'll be riding six white horses when she comes.
Excuse me.
Come on.
Are you the singing bush?
Follow the sea with a yo-ho. We'll blow the man down. Oh, pay attention and listen.
Let
to
me talk to him. Excuse us. Are you the singing bush?
Yo-ho. Blow the man down. Yo-ho. Blow the man down.
Hello?
Yo-ho.
Hi.
Blow the man down.
Hi.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
Excuse us.
Good night, ladies. Good
hey!
Night, ladies. Good night, ladies. We're gonna leave you now. Merrily we roll.
Forget
along,
it.
Roll
my
along,
guess is roll this is a singing
along,
bush.
Let's go summon the invisible swordsman.
Summon the invisible swordsman.
My body.
Can't believe I'm doing this.
My body lies over the sea. My body lies over the sea.
You know, let me see here. We each have to fire one shot in the air, say the magic chant, and the invisible swordsman will appear.
Chup, 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 chup,
Nanny!
Well, I got an old mule, her name is Sal, 15 miles from the Erie Canal. She's the good old...
Farley, 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 off her!
We hauled some barges in a day. With lumber, coal, and hay, and we know every inch of the way. For all the need to Buffalo, low bridge.
And I'll work it down, fellow. Sam. Great! You've killed the invisible swordsman!
Oh, I wish I was the one the captain. No time's there, not forgotten. Look away, look away.
He's dead, all right.
How was I supposed to know where he was?
You were supposed to fire up. We both fired up. It's like living with a six-year-old.
Now we'll never find El Guapos.
Now, of course, Dusty kills the invisible swordsman, but they then spot a cargo plane and follow to El Guapo. The plane is flown by the German, who has brought a shipment of rifles for the gang with his associates' help. Preparations are underway for El Guapo's 40th birthday party, and he plans to make Carmen his bride. The Amigos try to sneak into the hideout with mixed results. Lucky is captured and chained up in a dungeon. Dusty crashes through a window and into Karma's room, and Ned ends up stuck in the pinata. Now, El Guapo celebrating his 40th birthday, and then the guy says, oh, it's his 34th birthday. Now, he ain't 40.
No, fucking hell, we always say people look older then. No way is he 40, because Emma said, Mr. Sam, how did you? No, but he's really good. It's like I said, he's a scary villain, but he ain't that scary, really. He's a...
No, he's very much a comedy villain, isn't he?
Yeah, because I said there's nothing violent.
In fact, he gets a sweater for his birthday.
Yeah, he's really weird. And they're all really quiet now. Yeah, they're all really kicking the sand at that.
Thanks, oh my God. Now, El Guapo goes, obviously, you know, Chevy Chase is sort of like Dusty. He makes his escape, doesn't he? And he's wearing one of the Amigos.
When he does that... Gonna make it.
And that's Lucky Day, doesn't it? Look at it. That's classic Steve Martin.
It just is, isn't it? Gonna make it. Such classic Steve Martin. And that's when you realise that, you know, we were talking this earlier, and loads of people have gone about Steve Martin. He's gone off. He did go off. But my God, did he do 10 years of amazing films?
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, though, I know we'll talk about this when we talk about Steve Martin in the thing, but... But when El Guapo goes up to Dusty, and he's going, Mario, me and you, we beat the army at so-and-so, and he goes up to some other guys, and he goes, and you are... and he goes, El Mario, he goes, what did we do? And he goes, we burnt the villages. And he goes, raped the horses.
Yeah, we
raped the horses. And he goes, oh, yes. And he thinks to himself, oh, my God, they're my horses.
And he rode off on the women. Ha, ah, what else did we do? And we pruned. With the what? Pruned the hedges.
Yeah. And then he suddenly figures
out.
Now, as Lucky frees himself and Dusty sneaks out to be caught, Ned falls loose and is also captured. The German, having idolised Ned's quick draw and gun-spinning skills, since childhood, challenges him to shoot ecstasy blind. He says that, and then I find out about camera trickery.
Yeah, that's what I like about in his film as well. That they always talk about all their own films. They've all got little films, haven't they? Mm. Like, that's that little Ned went to war, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. I like the way all that, and even like the end bit, is about, I like films that self-reference themselves, I do. I know it's all very postman, but I like all stuff like that. Because I think, yeah, you know, when they wrote that, they actually had love for the script, didn't they? They really thought about all the stuff in it, hadn't they?
Yeah. they give him that gun. Then Martin Short, when he holds that gun, he just drops it out because heavy. And the fact he still wins, that's what I go. So he does win it. He gets to kill the guy. Lucky holds El Guapo at gunpoint long enough for Carmen and Amigos to escape, first on horseback, then in the German's plane. But just before that, there's a great line where El Guapo turns. Oh, El Guapo's assistant turns around and he goes, I'd like to see your friend die. And he goes, oh, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Obviously, meaning that he's died on screen or on stage many times.
That's
a classic Chevy Chase style delivery that is quite dry.
Oh, bloody hell, yeah. Because we're going to be talking about
that. But he goes, I'll fill you so full of lead. You'll be using your dick as a pencil. What do you mean? I don't know.
And he goes, well, he goes, I know.
Yeah. Now, returning to Santa Poco with El Guapo's entire army pursuit, the Amigos rally the villagers to stand up for themselves and plan a defence. The bandits arrive in a seemingly empty village only to find themselves suddenly being shot at by Amigos from all sides and falling into the hidden water-filled trenches dug by the villagers. Eventually, all of El Guapo's men either desert him or die in the gunfire, and he takes a fatal wound as well. As he lies dying, the villagers are all armed and wearing replicas of the Amigos' costumes, step out to confront him. El Guapo congratulates and then shoots Lucky in the foot and then dies.
Is it, don't you think that ending, because that ending is like, they think it's Amigos,
yeah,
and that.
Yeah.
Don't you think the ending's like
Clyde
Plains Drifter, paint the same red, isn't it?
Pink, isn't it? Is it pink of it?
It's red, isn't it, with it where he's got to walk where they all... That it's like it just references loads of westerns. I'm not a massive western fan.
Isn't High Plains Adrift also some kind of biblical reference?
You don't know what he's in.
That's what's
so
good about that film.
Oh, it's an amazing film.
Also,
some people talk about his spaghetti westerns. I prefer his American westerns.
Yeah.
High Plains Drifter, Hang 'em High.
That's
I really do.
Higgy Baby from the Magnum PI, isn't it?
Oh,
Now, the villagers offer to give the Amigos all the money they have, but the Amigos, refusing it, say, as in their muses, that justice done is enough reward for them, and they ride off into the sunset. So do you think it holds up then from when we last saw it, which is
like does.
86
or oh, God, like I said, I think I've seen it. It does. Like I said, you've got to be in the right mood for it.
Mm.
To me, it's a film that you chuckle along to, isn't it?
Mm.
The three laugh out loud moments, you know, is the water and the words, isn't it, right? The laugh out loud picture. But it's chuckle. I like it because I'm chuckling. It's a bit like watching...
Last of the Summer Wine.
Don't fucking say that. I don't know, I like watching a Dad's Army or that kind of thing.
Well,
you know,
only
Fools
and Horses nowadays,
or,
I think.
Very much. Because you saw it so much now, you know the jokes, but I think it has held up.
Yeah.
And, you know, three amazing comedy actors at the time. Now I'm thinking, the remake, I can't believe this. Sorry, this film has not been remade.
I'm thankful.
Because I think it will be.
Who would you cast?
Well, I was thinking this, Will Ferrell would be in it, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He'd do the Dusty Buttons role, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who else is that? Who else is that?
Would say, so really, you'd have Steve Carell then.
It'd be them.
Will Ferrell and the other one.
It'd be that cast, wouldn't it? Not the same, is it?
Not the same.
Yeah. But I'll tell you another thing with this film, right? I've told you this before.
Mm.
Don't you think it's exactly the same story as Galaxy Quest?
Yes, it is, isn't it?
I can't believe when I saw Galaxy Quest, which I think is a good film, brilliant for sci-fi fans, they never suit the arse off them.
Mm. Mm.
So it's about a TV show that someone thinks it's
really?
Fake, if reason's real. Then they come down, run away, and then come back and save it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it is.
I love Galaxy Quest. I'm saying it's an amazing film. It really does set the piss out of Star Trek fans and Star Wars fans, which is always good, isn't it?
Our sister podcast, as we call them over in America, the Anomaly Podcast, have just released a Galaxy Quest episode. It's an old one because they've released it.
Have they picked up on that as well?
I don't know. I asked Jane.
Honestly, I thought it's three Amigos. I know it's not an original story, but when it's the same in pacing, obviously a lot bigger budget, because you're going to see that three Amigos not a massive budget, is it?
No.
You can just see that, can't you?
I bet you anyway, I don't have the...
But no, because I need to think like that, but you can just tell.
So, should we talk about the cast then? So, Steve Martin, born Stephen Glenn Martin, August the 14th, 1945. So, he's heading close towards 70. Still looks good, though, probably because he went grey so long.
I've never seen him with anything but grey hair.
No, born in Waco, Texas. And let's have a look at his films. Now, of course, at the moment, he's most well known at the moment for his music. He's a bluegrass banjo playing. And very good he is too. Mm. He's always been a banjo player. So if I just give you a little bit of information here on him. Saturday Night Live audience jumped by a million viewers when he made guest appearances. A million viewers tuned in extra on an already very popular TV show. Though the common misconception is that he was a cast member, he was never a cast member.
No, I didn't know this. I thought he was part of the Saturday Night Live cast, but that's quite interesting.
Now, let's have a look at this. In the 1970s, his TV appearances led to the release of comedy albums that went platinum. The track Excuse Me on his first album, Let's Get Small, helped establish a national catchphrase. His next album, A Wild and Crazy Guy, in 1978, was an even bigger success, reaching number 2 in the US charts. Just A Wild and Crazy Guy became another of Martin's catchphrases, and this was featured in a Saturday Night Live sketch done by him and Dan Aykroyd. Now, the album ends, he did an album, which I'm not going to say, but the album ends with the song King Tut, written by Martin and backed up by the Toot Uncommons members of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. It was later released as a single, reaching number 17 in the US.
This is what you're showing me today.
And this is what we're going to play now.
Now when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. How'd you get so funky? Did you do the monkey? He gave his life for tourism.
Quality of stand-up comedy that was in America then in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to think you had Steve Martin, Robin Williams, Richard Pryor,
Andy Kaufman to certainly.
Yeah, there was loads of them about, weren't they? All breaking through, Bill Murray, all these coming through, fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And they all went on to do brilliant stuff. You know what comedians now, they say how great comedians are now, people keep saying how great they are. Do you think in Malcolm McIntyre is going to go on to do things like...
No.
They're not going to... I'm not saying they're okay, but they're not in the same quality.
Yeah, and I don't
writers. There were writers, a lot of these comedians,
weren't
they?
Writers may come with... I mean, the thing is, well, that Steve Martin supported... was the opening act for the Blues Brothers concerts. Featuring, obviously, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd at, like, the Universal Amphitheatre and all that kind of stuff. Now, Martin had a small role in the 1972 film Another Nice Mess, but his first substantial film appearance was in a short titled film, The Absent-Minded Waiter. Now, the 7-minute-long film also features Buck Henry and Terry Garr, who was written by and starred Martin. The film was nominated for an Academy Award as Best Short Film in Live Action. He made his first substantial feature film, though, in the musical Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, where he sang the Beatles song Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Was quizzical, studied pataphysical science in the home
late night, all alone with a tattoo. Maxwell Edison, majoring in medicine, calls her on the phone. Can I take you out to the pictures, Joe? Oh, oh, oh. But as she's getting ready to go, a knock comes on the door. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer came down upon her head. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer made sure that she was dead.
Yeah, do you remember him in that? You don't like that film,
do
you?
I've got to say, I don't really like psychedelia. I don't like in something. I don't like psychedelic films, really.
Yeah. In 79, Martin Kovine starred in The Jerk, directed by the legendary Carl Reiner. The movie was a huge success, grossing over $100 million on the budget of just four. So, let's go through some of these films. Right. I've got to scroll down a little bit here because I made the mistake of doing it backwards. So, I'll just pick out the ones that are really quite...
We said there's a period from about The Jerk. What year's The Jerk?
Well, The Jerk is 79. He also did The Muppet Movie. Then he did Pennies from Heaven in 81. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Really underrated film. Clever film as well.
There's loads
for the song about the technology and stuff.
Well, that's something I think maybe we'll cover that on one. He made The Man With Two Brains. You know, again, he's writing these things.
Just The Man With Two Brains. It's just an amazingly silly film.
Three Amigos, of course, 86. The same year was Little Shop of Horrors. Now, I'm tempted to put as the bonus song at the end of the show, after the promos, his song from I'll Be a Dentist.
It's an amazing record.
Roxanne, 87.
I really
like Roxanne. I know we've discussed this before. We both don't believe in the term guilty pleasure, do we? Everyone knows what a guilty pleasure saying is. I love Roxanne.
He is a bit soppy at the end, but he's still really funny. The bit where he's on about the joke about his nose, where he's doing all the jokes.
Yeah.
When he can beat more than she, he's an amazing scene, isn't it?
Planes, Trains, Automobiles, 87. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, 88. You know, I mean, it's just brilliant. 89, Parenthood. My Blue Heaven, 1990.
Yeah, this is...
Now, LA Story, both me and you said this last week, about to make Red, Richard E. Grant. Now, I do like LA Story. I know that pan.
I like it, yeah.
But when you look at it, when you take it away from the fact of expecting a usual Steve Martin vehicles, if you take that away from it, it works.
I think that was the problem. The way he shifted his career... But the press didn't, so everyone expected him to be really weird. And as a person, he wasn't a silly person at all. He was all right. He was his act, wasn't he?
Yeah.
People always thought he'd be really balmy. Robin Williams was Robin Williams, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Steve Martin. Well, we all know that. But Steve Martin wasn't like that. Yeah. He was a professional, wasn't he? I remember watching the thing about it. He said, his stage show, people think I was completely anarchic. He rewrites it until it was perfect.
Mate, we've talked about Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, it's another one of these films.
We will do it.
Because he plays Freddie Benson. Now, you know it's a remake.
Yeah, right. It's got David Niven in it.
David, do you know who plays Freddie Benson?
I don't know.
And I can't, I think it's called A Midnight Bedtime or something like that. Do you know who played Freddie Benson in that? He did.
Did he?
Yes. You're going to have to say who he is, unfortunately.
Marlon Brando.
One
of my all-time favourites. That's a bit weird. Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
I read the plot of it, and it's bang on. It's exactly, without a shadow, without a difference, it's identical
in the comedy.
Every single way, yeah. So, I'm going to buy it. So
can you get it?
I think so, but I'll get off on it anyway.
That's interesting, yeah.
All the stories, I've just noticed some of the names that goes there. Of course, Parents of My Boo, Heaven, LA Story, Father of the Blight. Then he does a few of his House Sitter.
Yeah, he's still going to be crap now.
Leap of Faith, oh dear. Father Boy 2, Sergeant Bilko.
You know, I don't mind that. Did I go and stab at you?
We did, yeah.
It's okay film. It's just that it was never going to be Phil Silver's Bilko.
But this is the problem, you see. Now, he did Sergeant Bilko. The reason why that didn't work is because you associate Sergeant Bilko with, of course, Phil Silver.
Phil Silver, you can't get it out of your head, can you?
And the same as the Pink Panther films.
Yeah.
The Inspector Clouseau is... Alan Arkin also played.
But who watched that? I've got them.
Shot in the dark.
I've got them. I've never watched Shot in the Dark.
Where'd you get them from, Cal?
I don't know. Gone from you.
I know you took them from my shelf, but where did they come from? Someone might buy them back. The Spanish Prisoner, I'll give that kudos there because it's a very good film. And then he's been in Bowfinger.
Bowfinger.
You saw that at the cinema.
Yeah, I like Bowfinger. I think, you know, Eddie Murphy's last decent film.
Yeah. Cheaper Bother doesn't. Oh. Pink Panther 2. And 2011, The Big Year. But he's still, you know, he is still Steve Martin. And for nearly 70, I'd still have
to. But it's classic, isn't it? Like I said, you can forget someone who's made that amount of good films that we grew up watching. Mm. Like I said, we grew up watching such a great bunch of comedian actors, didn't they? When, like I said, you had Chevy Chase, you had him, you had Bill Murray, you had Dan Aykroyd. Brilliant, weren't it? Martin Short and bloody, you know, the one who's in that, who's in My Film Magazine I told you about?
Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis. These are amazing people.
Oh, yeah. Chevy Chase, played Dusty Bottoms. Name, birth name, you like his name. Cornelius Crane Chase. Chevy comes from the nickname he had at school. Born October 8th, 1943. He's older, 2 years older than Steve Martin.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So he is now 70 this year. Born New York City. Now, Chevy Chase, another one of these people, he has got a bit of an attitude going around him, and he's...
I mean, I've read
some things, I've read other things, that he's just generally a bit like, you know, people say Harrison Ford doesn't have a sense of humour, when Harrison Ford does have a very good sense of humour, he just is very shy. I think Chevy Chase has got a very similar thing, but he is also a bit of an arsehole.
He is an arsehole, but let's be honest about it, growing up, he loved Chevy Chase. Yeah, looking forward to a new Chevy Chase movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, he got into a fight with Bill Murray, proper fisticuffs.
Because imagine them two always sort of...
Chevy Chase was in the first series of Saturday Night Live. He was the first one to be offered films outside of it, so he didn't bother with his contract. And you, why would you?
Yeah.
You know? And the person brought in to replace Chevy Chase was... Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Hello, yes, we've been joined by our Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy co-host coming
soon. It's been the legend to about this for 4 years.
Bill Murray came in to replace Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
And John Belushi started to spread rumours saying, oh, he's getting too big for his boots. So when Chevy Chase came back as a guest appearance, even Bill Murray got into a fight, and John Belushi got in between them to stop the fight, and both of them smacked Belushi in the face. And Chevy Chase is quoted as saying that he deserved it for starting in the first place.
Yeah, well, he was, how can we put it, he was quite hyper around that time as well, weren't he? It's like Jim Carrey when he was on his...
Yeah,
pay that. It would have been a fucking nightmare. And Robin Williams, absolute nightmare.
Well, it just goes to show the differences in drug taking, really. You got John Belushi was out of control.
Bill Murray's probably smoothly stoned.
Bill Murray's stoned. Who's most violent out of all
them? Yeah.
And I don't even think he's recovered from that. Bill Murray.
No, he still lives the same. You know, his wife, when he's divorced, do you know the interesting thing about Bill Murray? Do you know he's got no agent?
Hasn't he?
Or a promoter. You know, he has a phone that he leaves in a safe. That he goes to look at every now and again.
Oh,
and he's missed loads of films. He was meant to be Sully in Monsters, Inc.
No.
The main one. No. Never got back to his phone for 3 months.
Well, it's his own
fault. He doesn't care. Well, he doesn't care.
Have you seen his brothers?
His brother's in... he knows the film. In God Bless America.
Yeah.
And he just looks
there's
like...
a confused look
over
there.
Which one? The main one, Killing Everyone.
Oh, there you go, there's something new.
So
let's go through some of the
these are classics, aren't they? Yeah. I know there's loads. He did loads of films, didn't he?
Yeah, he's in a short film called War Don't Run. I'm just going to go to the ones where he kind of like gets really big. Caddyshack, of course. In 1980, with Bill Murray, so they did make it up. There was no kind of like,
yeah, I just think they were all quite competitive with each other, weren't they?
83, we had The Vacation, first Vacation film. Sorry, Clark was, now they had a, if you look up on YouTube, you can see Vacation Reunion.
When was it
from? About a year ago,
was
I think. Yeah, because
is it Rusty? Got Rusty in it.
Michael, I think the one who's in Breakfast Club with me.
Yeah.
The woman who don't look even.
Beverly D'Angelo
still looks alright.
She's Mrs. Appertino,
isn't she? Yeah, Mrs. Appertino. Hoo-ha. Indeed. Then we have Deal of the Century, Fletch.
This is classic. Fletch is a classic role, isn't it?
No, I was watching the clip, the famous clip.
It's the music in Fletch.
And he goes, you know, he has to bend over. He does the Moon River. But what made me really laugh on that is when he's there and he's talking about it, he goes, oh, because you got the whole fist up there,
the bend over line is...
Not in it.
No, it's Fletch 2.
Fletch 2.
It's the classic. Take your trousers down. What's your name? Bend over. Hello, Ben.
Then, now, in 1985, I don't know how you feel about this, but I really like it. He's Spies Like Us.
Ooh, ooh, what do you do? No one else can dance like you. So, what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody spies like us. Hey, what do you say? Someone took your plans away. So, what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody spies like us.
Oh, it's amazing. Then real alone, because he's got Paul McCartney song I don't like.
Mind that song. But the funny thing is, if you watch the video of that, Chevy Chase does have a habit of turning up in videos. He turns up in two Paul Simon videos, which of course is Call Me Out from the Great another one, which is called Proof, with Steve Martin. Yeah. Of course, he turns up in the Ghostbusters video. Yeah. But in Spies Like Us, they both turn up in that. And older Paul McCartney, old Macca there, going quite grey and ace.
Amazing chestnut hair.
Amazing,
right?
He's got chestnut hair.
Yeah. Mm. But Spies Like Us got one of the great cheating scenes one time.
with the eye patch, the tongue thing. It's the way that they know they're watching it. I haven't seen Spies Like Us in a long time. But is the guy who's watching them also the guy who goes, anybody?
I haven't seen Spies Like Us for ages.
Because I love the way that they watch. He's watching. He's on the floor. He's at cardiac arrest and all that. Kind of.
Yeah, because he thinks he's in it. That's brilliant.
Dan Aykroyd, not too fat in that.
He's quite fast in that boy's waistline. They were expanded.
It's a bit like Shatner's wig. Something once you start, you do get addicted to it. The couch trip.
I like the couch trip. It's really good.
Funny Farm.
That's
not a bad one. Caddyshack 2. Only brief cameo in that.
Yeah, he's good in it. But that's got bloody Rodney Dangerfield in it as well. It's amazing.
Fletch Lives in 89. Christmas Vacation in 89.
Oh, yeah. It's a great... That is a Christmas movie as well.
On the bloke's head that week.
It's the bit on the sledge.
Was European Vacation? Oh, 85. Because Eric Carr wasn't there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, kids, Big Ben.
Yeah.
Then we got LA Story, uncredited. In LA Story. Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
That's got a classic thing where all the people he pulls his trousers down. It's an amazing scene, isn't it? That's the only thing you can think to do, is pull that bloke's trousers down.
Another uncredited appearance in Accidental Hero. Is a cameo appearance in Last Action Hero. Vegas Vacation.
It's really terrible then. It's really terrible.
Secret Policeman's Ball, a little bit of that down. This is where it all goes off now. Family Guy as playing Griswold, and he really just comes. He's in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, I like that film.
He then makes a more notable get his name back in the credits in Community.
Because he looks quite old though now, doesn't he?
To be fair, he's done an awful lot of things that have been cancelled.
Yeah.
Rumoured to be in Hot Tub Time Machine 2, and also in a new Vacation film, which is in pre-production in 2004.
I think it's Leave It.
Yeah,
I think the two are classic. You know.
But European
Vacation is amazing.
No, Val, you texted me earlier, the other day, when you talked about that film. What was the quote that you put in it? Where is it? Isn't it the daughter's missing?
She's constantly going, can't I, Miss Jet?
Yeah.
And then they go into that German person's house, and
it's
got that massive
can't I, Miss Jet? Martin Short. Martin Short. Now, he was born, Martin Heater Short, March 26, 1950. So he's 63. Now, he's been out of the limelight for a bit because, very much like Rick Moranis, sadly, his wife passed away from a very...
He did a few of the TV things, didn't he, in the noughties? A bit like Cinderella and all that. I saw him on a few TV. But he was in loads of really amazing stuff, weren't he?
He's not a lot, is he? Not stuff that you kind of think of. So if I go through his filmography, I'm going to have to scroll through this. The Love Boat, in the Love Boat TV series.
He was in that?
Yeah, he was in that. He was in the TV series Taxi in 81. A lot brief, you know, just turning up there. Of course, SCTV was his big thing over up in Canada. But it's not until The Three Amigos, which really he makes his name. He then turns up in Inner Space playing Jack Potter.
Yeah, that's a really good film, though, that is. Really good.
Then he really kind of goes off because The Three Fugitives is in that, playing Ned Perry. The Big Picture. The Three Fugitives, that rings a bell.
Yeah, it's got Nick Nolte in it.
That's it. Father of the Bride playing, of course. And of course, he'll be in the follow up of that. Martin Short Show, The Pebble Penguin.
Yeah, I'm thinking
Mars Attacks. Yeah.
He's good in that. It's a really good film, that is.
Jungle to Jungle. Alice in Wonderland TV series.
Yeah, that's a really
He does a few comedy voiceovers. 101 Dalmatians. He's the voice for that, of course. And that's really...
I'm sorry,
he is. Yeah, and that's about the Santa Claus films. He plays the elf in that, or Jack, wasn't it? And that's really about it. His last film that he did, if I scroll up, was Frankenweenie. The Cat in the Hat stuff, and the last thing he's done is filming his Inherent Vice. So, you know, not a bad set list, but he's still more frequent in the Three Amigos than...
Well, this is what we were talking about, weren't we? So one thing when you watch Three Amigos is Chevy Chase is not centre stage at all, is he?
No.
And it's like a supporting role, and in my head... Like, you think it's Chevy Chase doing all the best lines in it.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase don't do loads in it. It's like every time they're singing and dancing, he's just standing at the side, isn't he? Mm.
Yeah, which is weird.
It's like, you know, I don't know what it was going on. There must have been a... Steve Martin didn't want him stealing all the best lines.
It could have been. I mean, it was written by Lorne Michaels, of course, was the person who created Saturday Night Live. And, of course, bear in mind, he left after one season, yeah. So it could be a little bit of a spin-off. Music done, of course, by Randy Newman again.
I love Randy Newman, just amazing music. He's out about, right, he's like co-writer as well, Randy Newman, and the whole film, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
Now, there's several deleted scenes of this.
There is?
Yeah, but it's only available on the Blu-ray. But again, of course, the Blu-ray is so bad. No one tells
me. Well, not on YouTube.
Could well be. There's an alternate opening feature featuring the peaceful village of Santa Marco being rampaged by the El Guapo band. So maybe isn't.
Oh, you've saw that?
Yeah.
Do you know weird that is? Fucking weird, because I watched that on DVD the other night, and I'm sorry for years. And I remember a beginning bit where they're running through the town, and that's why they go to try and find heroes.
Oh, really?
I don't know if I saw it. It might be a Lethal Weapon moment.
Oh yeah, it could well be. Broadcast on TV. Hello, live on the show again. This is great. We've got two cameo appearances. Anyway, trivia card.
Yeah.
Got some trivia for you now. In the sequence where they have to say the magic words to summon the invisible swordsman, one of Steve Martin's magic words is ha-har. Which, of course, is from The Man with Two Brains. El Guapo.
Oh, is that where that's from?
That's where his name is. He's ha-har.
Oh, he's right.
The El Guapo is Spanish for the handsome one or the ladies' man.
So that's like a play on the fact that he's not really ugly.
Yeah, kind of. Originally, the movie was supposed to star Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd, and John Belushi. Martin mentioned in a 1980 Playboy interview that it was going to be the three Caballeros. Steven Spielberg considered directing the film, but chose to do E.T. the Extraterrestrial instead. He has said in interviews his choices for the roles of the Three Amigos were Steve Martin for Lucky Day, Bill Murray for Dusty Bottoms, and Robin Williams for Ned Niederlander.
Yeah, you can sort of see it, can't you? Because when you think about it, Martin Short is a funny fit, really, because he wasn't part of all that gang, was he?
No. The song at the beginning, the high note at the end, lasts for 14 seconds.
Bloody hell. That's a good fact, Ned.
John Landis states, had Martin Short turned down the role for Ned, he would have approached Rick Moranis to play the role.
Yeah.
You can probably see that, can't you?
Yeah.
John Landis said in an Empire magazine piece that the film was taken out of his hands in post by the studio and heavily edited.
You can see that. That scene, they obviously wanted it in there. That, like I said, that weird middle scene did not fit in that film. It didn't look the same. It's a different tone than the rest of the film. I reckon there was probably a lot harder edging than it was.
Now, there's also a thing where Chevy Chase turns around in an interview and says how much he doesn't like John Landis. He called John Landis something like a bully or something like that.
Because everyone's got nice things about John Landis, isn't
they? Yeah, but there again, we are talking about Chevy Chase.
He was off his tree roundabout.
Well, did you? I told you I saw that, the roast of Chevy Chase.
Yeah, and he said it wasn't that good. It should have been amazing, shouldn't it?
Yeah, but it was, you know, it's kind of like, it's good intentional ribbing, isn't it? The roses. They do kind of like.
Some of them are amazing, aren't they?
That was really nasty against him.
It was.
And this one woman on there, I think you might recognise her. She's like, I've seen her, but quite an old woman. And she's one of these, like, you know, Joan Rivers can be a bit sexual in a giant, and you know, it's uncomfortable kind of. And she's that Jewish kind of, like, really hard, about her. And it's, like, just ridiculous. But I noticed a lot of the roast was against Paul Schaefer, not Chevy Chase, which was a bit
I'll have to have a look at this.
About 25 minutes, half an hour, and you know.
Because something like the William Shatner roast is amazing.
It's really good, even with George Scott. Oh my. George is like, hey, we have a comment.
Woo!
Comment. This is from Tina Marie, or Tina. I got, hey, Meds and Kells. Well, hello from Tina Marie from across the pond in Antrim, New Hampshire.
Oh.
Love your podcast. Love listening to how you pronounce certain words. Three Amigos is one of my favourite movies. I think it's such a great movie. I'm sure you'll do a thorough job in discussing this movie, but I just want to make a list of my favourite parts in the movie.
Well, I can say not a favourite part, but it's my ankle. Emmy boobs.
I love My Little Buttercup, where they sing in the bar and make everyone else sing along. Two, I love how the telegram is edited. Due to how much it costs. Three, love the camping scene where they all sing. Even the animals are singing along to Goodnight Ned. Kind of reminds me of Kirk, Bones and Spock during their camping scene in Star Trek.
Yeah. But it is a classic scene, now, isn't it?
And they sing, what they sing? Oh, Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Really? Yeah, and that's it. Because that's what that bus is singing.
What's the other film that has Row, Row, Row Your Boat in? A classic film.
It's Dirty Harry, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Which is more disturbing.
Yeah.
Number four, it's great when the guys are on their horses and Lucky and Ned are out of water and Dusty uses his water to clean his hands and dumps the rest of it on the ground and then applies lip balm. The other two are so thirsty but Dusty offers him the lip balm instead. I'm glad that actually the scenes that she really likes is the scenes that we actually just talked about.
They are the best, they are, isn't they? Because it isn't hilarious all the way through it.
No.
It isn't.
Five, the scene where Lucky is... Well, that was four.
Oh, yeah.
Five. The scene where Lucky is chained up and he chants, gonna make it, gonna make it, and he misses the first few times and then finally escapes. Six, So Like the Wind, old one. Love that scene where all the people, the village, are sewing the uniforms. Seven, where Dusty accidentally shoots Invisible Swordman. That's just too funny. Eight, the singing bush. So many connotations. Nine, where they realise that it's for real and they start crying. Those are my favourite scenes. Overall, it's a great movie. I love it. Can't wait to hear what your take is. Can't wait to hear the theme tune as well. We are the Three Amigos, especially when they hold out on the A. All the best, Tina Maria.
Lovely
Thank
comment.
Thank you so much. Lovely.
Everyone, you know, that's it. Everyone's a fan of this film, likes them bits.
Yeah.
It's not as if you go, oh, them bits in there.
No, really. And if you don't like the film, you won't be listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to be doing a classic British film next, and we have no idea what it is doing.
We've been I've been away and...
Yeah, you've been hot-footing it down in Oxford.
I have.
Getting totally drunker here on... various cocktails and stuff. And spending too much money.
And very expensive cocktails.
Well, you know, there you go. There you go.
We'll make... I don't know when we... When's this going out?
This is going out tomorrow, probably.
I can't wait here tonight.
We'll
find out. We'll put it up on...
It'll be on the Facebook page.
We've got to try some British stuff. We've done quite a lot of American stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to have a bit of a British one now, which will be what our podcast originally was. So we're going to do a couple of British classic TV programmes. Of course, the bonus stuff's going to come out when we feel like
doing
it.
There's still a few classic British things we haven't done yet, isn't there?
Yes.
A few of the Adders and...
Yeah, we've got, as I say, of course, we've got Hitchhikers coming soon.
Yeah.
Blackadder 4 or 3, not too sure which yet. But we'll announce it on our Facebook page, so come along and join. We've had a load of people doing it. 278 members now on Facebook page, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I know. So that's it, Cal. Thanks for joining us again on the show.
Thanks for joining me.
And joining me and you. Yeah. It's our show. I don't want to say that. I just don't quite know how to end it. And we are going off because we're going to go for a curry now in this struggling heat. Anyway, thanks everyone. Listen to the Jen's announcements in a minute about how you can get in contact with us and, of course, our Facebook page. See you all next month.
Bye.
If you would like to voice your opinions in written or vocal form, then please do email the lads at waffleonpodcast@gmail.com and await your views to be aired and then royally torn apart or praised. If you stalk the internet and hide in such social networks as Facebook, then why not join the group page? It's easy to do. Just type Waffle On Podcast in the search bar, find the page, and join. This has been a Waffle On production. Copyright Simon Meddings and Mark C. Kelly.
Hello, I'm Meds.
You're not Meds.
And I'm Kel.
You're not Kel either.
I don't even sound like them, do I? I'm trying to.
Yeah, I'm
I sound
not
like
sure.
The Geico lizard.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to do that. Anyway, hey, we love Waffle On. Waffle On's fun. I just love the podcast. Meds and Kel, you're so cool. By the way, this is Rick.
And this is Amy, and we are the hosts of Take Him With You.
It's the weekly podcast where we discuss our geeky Moyer home. Yes, we are geeky. And we're really fun, though. We talk about our faith and how it relates to the world around us. And I absolutely love Star Trek and heavy metal music. It's just too much fun.
And I tolerate Star Trek and don't like heavy metal music at all.
What do you like?
I like reading and quiet music and Home and Garden TV.
Yeah. You like some of British sci-fi stuff, right?
You know, I do like some sci-fi. I really do, but I'm not as passionate about it as you are.
That's okay. We've lived together for 24 years, and it's okay. Opposites attract, and we're still married, eh?
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
That's Canadian. That's not English. Oh, well. I say we go have a cup of tea.
Indeed.
Indubitably. I can't even say that.
You do like tea, though.
I do like tea.
Yes.
Earl Grey. Hot. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, if you get a chance to listen to our podcast, do so. It's at takehimwithyou.com, or you can find us on
iTunes.
Just look up Take Him With You.
And you can hit the little subscribe button, and it's free.
Yep. So thanks, Meds and Kel. Have a great day, and thanks for letting us do our promo.
Okay.
Tea time.
When I was younger, just a bad little kid, my mama noticed funny things I did. Like shooting puppies with a BB gun. I'd poison guppies, and when I was done, I'd find a pussycat bashing its head. That's when my mama said,
what did she say?
She said, my boy, I think someday you'll find a way to make your natural tendencies pay. You'll be a dentist. You have a talent for causing things.
Hey, hey.
Some be a dentist. People will pay you to be inhumane. Your temperament's wrong for the priesthood, and teaching would suit you still less. Some be a dentist. You'll be a success.
Here he is, folks, the leader of the black. Watch him suck up that gas. Oh my god! He is the dentist that he'll have ever be good. Who wants that teeth done by the Marquis de Sade?
Oh, that hurts! Wait, I'm not numb!
Shut up. Open wide. Here I come! I am your dentist, and I enjoy the career that I picked. I'm your dentist, and I get off on the pain I inflict. I thrill when I drill a bicuspid. It's swell, though they tell me I'm maladjusted. And though it may cause my patients distress, somewhere in heaven above me, I know that my mom is proud of me.
Oh, mama.
'Cause I'm a dentist and a fixer. Say ah.
Ah.
Say ah.
Ah.
Say ah.